For the airport meeting for today, June 21st, approval of minutes. Do I hear a
second?
Okay. Do I hear somebody? There's been a second. Anybody want to approve it?
Can we go around the table and introduce everyone for the tape, please?
Proven 20. Pardon me?
Can we go around and for the tape and say who's here? Roll call.
Oh, okay. Jim, go ahead and start.
Jim Churchwell.
Ralph Busby.
Mark Watkins.
Jim Holloway.
Ted Jones, City of Newport.
Okay.
And Jim Boatberg, City Manager.
There you go. Okay. Approval of the minutes. Grant update.
I'll go ahead and do that. You might have heard the Newport Airport was ranked 15th on the Connect Oregon 4 recommendation to be funded. I think they funded clear down to about number 38 or something like that. So it's great. And what that was is $488,000, which represents a 5% match to an overlay project that's estimated to be about $9 million. The city will have to come up with the other 5%, and we anticipate to do that by a couple ways. Number one, we're going to try to do some cost savings in the project. We'll still get the $448,000, but if our project cost goes from $9 million, say down to $7 million, that $448,000 is a higher percentage. You know, we still will have to come up with something, and we do have a little bit of money set aside this year in this year's budget for the eventual project that will actually be constructed next year. So over the next 2 years, we're going to try to get the remaining 5%. That's on the funding side. I asked Ted Jones to come in here. He's going to be working with PAE, our design engineers, on this project, and he can give you an update on this particular project and some other projects that's going on out at the airport.
Let me go ahead.
Yep. Okay, go ahead.
Yeah, okay. Are you familiar with the numbering system FAA assigns to the projects, AIP 1617? Okay, so that can just talk that then. 16 has been closed out, which was a paint specification project. 17 is in our hands now to close out administratively, and that was the rotating beacon project. The next four numbers I'm going to throw out there, the next four AIP project numbers, three of them are related to the runway rehab. The other is a standalone project, and it's the Part 139 signage and so forth on the west apron there. And that's AIP 19. We had to kind of shift things around amongst these AIP numbers and create some new ones and so forth, and to kind of split it out for the monies we had. That runway signage contract is underway. The contract documents are working. PAE is working on those. Then projects 18, 20, and 21 are all for the runway rehab. 18 is kind of the pre-design, upfront data collection, some survey, those types of things. We just got a check for $20,000 sent out to the FAA. Yeah, because of the FAA equipment that's out there, they have to send their own team out to do the inspection and location and so forth. So that's underway, and we hope to have this part A of the pre-design done this fall. The second part of the actual design, the contract documents, hope to have that done, which is AIP 20. Hope to have that done late winter. And then out to bid late spring for summer construction and to be done going into November of 2013 with the actual project. So that's kind of the timeline for that.
Is the runway lights part of that final construction, the runway lights on that runway? And is that anticipated completed at the same time, or is that going to be done later?
I don't know.
My understanding, it will be a part of it because the runway is going to be
narrower, yeah.
So they'll
yeah.
have to bring the lights yeah. in. So
I didn't know if they were going to do that right away or not. I just, you know, it was talked about, and I know it's in there somewhere. I just was curious.
Yeah. Okay, can we look into that?
So, Jim, is it, we don't have any preliminary drawings or any preliminary plans at all for this project?
That's what we're working on.
Okay, but as of today, we don't have any.
No.
So is it true that we're going to be eliminating the cross runway, runway 0220? That's going to be gone?
I never heard that.
I don't know of anything.
Well, that's why I'm concerned.
That's never been mentioned.
I've never heard any. That's the first I've heard of anything like that.
First I heard of that.
There's nothing the minister has brought up previously by
Airport
manager.
The only issue.
Where did you hear this?
Well, because we have to bring in so much fill to, at the midsection of the, at the crossing, 0220. You know, it might have been when we first started talking about this project that they were going to have to elevate, because if you look down 1-6 or 3-2, you'll see a big bow in the runway right at the midsection of the main runway. And the concern was that if we have to elevate that to get that level, that that's going to cause a big bow in 0220. So I want to make sure that we, this project, that we retain the midsection runway.
But somebody, you said somebody is saying this is probably going to happen or might happen or what? I'm trying to figure out
the,
where.
Yeah, yes. The very first meeting that we talked about this, when Gene was still here.
Mark, what I recall the concern was, you're, and I assume it's still going to make a crown runway.
Runway has to be crowned.
Out of the new runway where the old one's single slope, and the issue was how are you going to merge 220 with the new crown runway, and there were some issues around that. But I never heard anybody any time ever mention closing that runway.
I must have been misled. I just wanted to make sure that then that might have been the discussion, what we might have to get rid of that cross runway. I just make sure that that is...
That's not anything I'd heard played up.
Okay.
And that's not what I heard either. What I heard was is that you're going to protect the cross-section and make sure that when they're doing the construction on that cross-section that you don't close down both runways if you get it all possible.
Maybe that's what I heard. Okay. So that cross-section is going to be going to remain and it's going to be a part of this project now.
Well, it that runway is going to remain. I don't know that there's work on that.
Well, that's
runway.
That's
yeah.
fine.
Just at the
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Good.
But it's not insignificant to take it from a shed section to a crown
sure.
section. I mean, and you know that's where some of the places we're really looking to optimize, maybe a cut rather than fill, and some of these types of things.
Right.
And hopefully, then we can get some economies there.
Okay.
But yeah, the first round of you know graphics and some of that will be this fall.
Okay.
Any other questions for Ted?
And just again, Jim, he's a consultant for this project.
Ted works for us. He's a project engineer in our public works department.
New?
6 months?
6 months.
Yeah, kind of new. Okay, I'm sorry. He's
a senior planner.
Yeah.
No, engineer.
Engineer.
I'm an engineer.
Oh, good.
I'm a nuts and bolts guy.
Okay.
So, yeah.
We like nuts and bolts guys. We fly airplanes. There's a lot of them.
A lot of nuts and bolts.
Yeah,
that's right.
Any other questions for him? Thank you.
Is your number available?
Yeah, sure. I brought cards.
I guess I just gave you a few information, is that right?
Yeah.
Thank you.
There you go.
Thank you. We'll see who you are this week.
Right.
Yeah, be careful when Jim goes into finance and what have you, we all could be in trouble.
Okay.
Get this project going. Thank you, Ted.
All right, thank you so much.
Thanks, Ted.
Yep.
Thanks, Ted.
Yeah. Oops, sorry.
Thanks. Okay. Yep. Recruitment?
Yeah, I can give an update on that. You might have heard, I mentioned this to the council on Monday. I put this on hold for right now. We've had some just interesting inquiries in the last couple months. Someone just called and said, hey, I'm interested in maybe running your FBO.
Okay.
And, you know, so they're, it's a company over in Eastern Oregon, but they've got FBOs in Oregon, Washington, and Alaska. It sounds like they're pretty busy because they also do some firefighting kind of stuff, so it won't happen right away. But I wanted this to work its way through a little bit because what kind of a manager we have might be different if we operate the FBO, if we don't operate the FBO. So, you know, rather than just rush and hire somebody and then figure their job duties, things are going great out there. Terry and Lance are doing a fine job, so we can survive a little longer because I'd rather get the right person for that position rather than just hire it because it's vacant.
How is it, Jim?
At the close of the last meeting, Doug made the request that the airport advisory committee have some input into the selection process, and Peggy said she'd pass it on to you. I don't know if she did, but what's your response for that?
Yeah, I was going to have somebody from this. Actually, I was going to ask you, Ralph, to be on kind of help us look through those things. So actually, maybe the board wants to have Ralph be the contact person. But because all this stuff was kind of happening, I didn't want to start a whole process. And other than we did rush out to start getting applications in, but then again, all that came out. And then we had another person call about providing mechanic services within our FBO. He doesn't want to run the FBO, but what he does, and maybe he'll do that and provide fuel, do the fuel sale. So there's just enough balls in the air. I figured let's just kind of work things through. We're not in an emergency situation again. Yeah. Things are working very well out there, and we can wait just a little bit to see how things work out.
I think that's a good move from my perspective.
Yeah. How are things going on?
Well, I was just going to provide an editorial comment that I think Lance and Terry are doing fine.
Very, very committed to the airport and to the city.
I mean, Terry would sell that airport to, he should be selling land in Florida. They're doing a good job, and I think everybody's happy. They've made some improvements in the building there. It looks a little nicer, and they're really trying to make it happen. And it's doing good.
So I'd like to make sure it's in the minutes that Ralph will be on the advisory board. Okay, good. So Jim, if we did sell the FBO, then they would just
I don't think we'd quote sell it. I think
okay.
Everything's open. I mean, and that's this just came out of the blue, and so we haven't even got into they actually want to do it. So it could be a lease. They could they could buy it. I don't know, but so we'll just kind of work through these steps. They have to say they want to do it. We can't force somebody. So we're far from looking at that kind of stuff.
Okay. And side comment, you will ask the board, the committee, right, or to at least talk with us.
Oh yes. So if we get something that's more concrete than just someone calling me up and saying they're interested, I really don't have anything to tell you other than I received a phone call. They actually came over and looked at it and said, "Oh, this was good." And then when I called them back, they said, "Wow, we're busy. We're fighting." Actually fighting fires because they were doing some stuff. So I'll call you a little bit later with what can do. I mean, they're even looking at maybe some kind of limited charter service here. So, it's pretty exciting stuff.
I appreciate not the rush to action here with all this stuff going on because these guys are doing a good job and they're maintaining everything to, pilots and city and FAA standards, and they're doing a good job.
I think it would be good, though, to have a timeline, get some milestones to say, you think by October 1 you'd have somebody hired or work things out. You don't want them to just kind of languish.
Yeah, I think we should. I should have something in the next couple months, who might or might not come here. And then if I don't start seeing some progress, then we'll just start up the process again.
Get your contacts.
So that's what, July, August. Yeah, so if I don't hear anything by September, we'll probably, even before that, we'll start the recruitment process again.
A couple weeks ago, we had a great fly-in. Every Saturday, we got the barbecues. You need to come down for that once in a while. It's just, we're getting new faces. People are flying in, loving the burgers. It's just a great time of fellowship.
Saturday's right.
Every Saturday at noon. A couple weeks ago, we had a lot of pilots from the Oregon Pilots Association. And it's just a nonprofit organization, guys sitting together. And they talk about different FBOs. They loved our facility, loved the barbecue. One of the things that was very confusing to them, and a lot of people did buy fuel, is that apparently we have three different prices for fuel. We've got the pump price, self-service price. We've got the discount card price. And we have the truck price.
Right. And that's not unusual if you look at a lot of airports and in the directory. Yeah.
And that's, I understand that. Oregon, it was, these people come in and say, what do you get for fuel? Well, it depends. Do you have a card? Do you want to serve it yourself? So it was just, I was kind of wondering if we could just kind of limit it to maybe two prices so there's some consistency, or it might not even be an issue.
I don't think it's an issue. As Doug said, I think it's fairly common. I think what they could do is maybe make it a little more obvious. There's a huge sign on the hangar, and there's another sign down on the self-service pump.
I think
it says so much per gallon, and maybe we need a sign at least inside the building that Terry had put up that's more obvious that says this
okay.
is how
inside yes, and I'll tell you what I wish we could do, Jim. I wish we could market those discount cards. I mean, if our friend pilots from Lebanon, Corvallis knew about that, we would sell them and they would come here for fuel. I think that's a missed boat there. I think we should market those.
I don't know how you reach them, but yeah.
Well,
another sign in the
at least post it. Now, I don't know. I mean, originally that started out as a
just
thing
for
local guys, and then it ended up being for anybody that wants to pay in advance. And if you want to push it, but then how much money are we making?
See, we don't.
That's just
we,
it.
We
you
make
maybe
pennies.
You don't want it.
I mean, this is more for the local pilots.
Okay.
Because
okay.
you're probably
I mean,
making
I rather,
a hell of a lot.
I'd rather someone flying in paying a price where we're actually
okay.
going to earn tourist. Something so that we can offer the lower ones to the
well,
local guys.
And I will go to Lebanon sometimes to get auto gas because I can.
Oh, yes, right, you can.
Mm-hmm. Get $4.50 a gallon, that's a big difference.
It is a huge difference. Yeah, I wish I could. Yeah. Well, anyway, I appreciate the local discount, and it's a nice deal. I just want to make sure that we're selling fuel, because right now that's the only revenue stream that we have.
Well, when you see the big the military things coming in, that's definitely a big revenue.
That's
going right
to be nice.
There. Yeah.
What military things?
You mean like the big Chinooks and
the helicopters have been coming through. I've seen that.
Yeah, sometimes, they get fuel.
and I think there is a certain government the GAI program. Where the dispatcher, whatever you call it, that maneuvers all these airplanes, they look to see where they're going to get fuel, and this FBO, has the military, is in the military system. I don't remember the acronym, but they call it. Jim, do you know if we're on that program? We started it quite a while ago.
No, I don't think we've ever
talked about it.
Because we don't sell enough fuel.
Yeah, there was a problem. When those
oh, that's right. We had to do a minimum.
When those four Navy guys, there's four Navy King Airs out there about 2-3 months ago. They're parked out there for about a week.
Yeah,
yeah.
I remember that.
And Terry explained to me that they couldn't buy fuel because the Navy wouldn't let them buy fuel because our turnover wasn't high enough.
That's right. We had to buy
I guess
minimum.
They thought we had water in our tanks because we didn't pump 100,000 gallons a year. Or
that's what it was.
It was some crazy
That's a real drag.
Yeah, it's ridiculous.
That's a real drag.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I remember that now.
Jim, anything else in airport development?
Not in development, but just a few other things on the airport because there is no... airport director, but I'll just kind of get a quick update. Terry and Lance did go through some wildlife training this week, which is a requirement of our Part 139. They also did a tabletop with our fire department and police department a few months back. That was on our FAA inspection. That was one thing that was missing. So we got that completed in time, submitted to the FAA, so we're good to go on that. The other thing is, and this was a situation where the water bill for the airport had always been paid by the water department. And the water department, it was just, I don't think they really saw it. It just went into finance. So things just got paid. And then Tim Gross came and said, I don't run the airport. And so he shipped it off to the airport. And the airport got this bill. And I go, whoa, why are we using 50,000 gallons a month? Who's flushing the toilet? So we did a lot of investigations and came up that there was a leak.
That
so
sounds like it, yes.
A week and a half ago or so, we had a leak detector come in and determine it was the valve on that serves the Coast Guard fire suppression tank.
Mm-hmm.
And it wasn't fully closed. So we fixed that and have since sent a bill to the Coast Guard for the for the water consumed. It was like $8,000, they've called back and said, well, we can pay the water, but we also wanted to charge them for half the time of the leak detection because it was most of theirs.
It's a big airport.
They said, well, you should have notified us before. We said, well, we thought it was a water line break, not a leak to your tank, so we'll see if we get that one. That's about $800, so we'll see.
Wow.
So anyway, we have that fixed. We also asked the Coast Guard to put a meter on their the service line that goes to their tank.
And, water line?
Yeah, so okay. That we can meter, so if this ever happens again, we'll know a lot faster. Now, the other thing that it did show was all the hangars, or not all, but I think almost all have water service going into them.
No, they don't.
I don't.
No.
Well, there's lines poke to them. And see, that's where we have to do a little more investigation.
You know, I don't know the whole story, but there's only... There is a...
One spigot.
There's one spigot down there past your hangar on the end of it, but it's nobody's...
It's shut off.
It's just out in the ground. There's a wash rack over on the south hangars, you know, up against one of the metal hangars, and a guy... What's his name? Paul... Can be Paul Larson's hangar. Has a faucet, and he says he has a water meter on the hangar.
See, we have to do a lot more investigation.
And those are the only three that I'm aware of. Yeah. Not that I know everything, but I'm just saying that's most of them that I'm aware of don't have any water.
And they're all turned off.
Yeah, well, they're just spigots anyway. But
and that's what we need to investigate, because we really shouldn't be... If someone's using that, they ought to be paying for it. So we're going to do a little more investigation, and if we find a hangar that's actually using water... We'll probably put a meter on it and ask him to pay for the water.
The guy I'm aware of that has water in his hangar is Paul Larson, and he says he has a meter because I was talking to him about it one day for some reason.
Well, I don't think anybody's charging him. So.
Well, that's even better.
Is he already even there?
Well, he's got it rented to Alex.
Having one of plane watch.
Having a meter and having a red are two different things.
Yeah. Anyways, it's just something that came up with all this. We're going to kind of work it way through, and if a hangar essentially has water and uses it, we'll try to recapture
that. Is that Seal Rock water at Newport?
Yeah, it's Seal Rock water. Anyways, so that's all I had. And I do want to give kudos to Lance and Terry and Chuck out there. They're doing a great job. We've got a couple of temps that we were training so that, you know, if one of them is sick, gone vacation, we've got somebody there as well. So it's actually working very well.
And all the temps are going to be eventually all fuel certified in case somebody's there that...
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. We're training.
Good.
Yeah. I think Jeff is.
Jeff is, and then we have another one we just brought on, and we'll get him certified as well.
Somebody was getting trained on how to make the fuel cart work. So. Last time I got recharged.
Yeah, really. Lance used to be the only person in the world, but I think he spread the knowledge now. Those fuel carts, that's a phenomenally complex...
Little glitch.
Used to be easier when they switched vendors from Exxon not being in the fuel business anymore.
Well, it's also the way it operates. You know, one of the things you have to do when you use a card, they're smart cards, you know.
Right.
It writes it to the card. So in essence, it's like you put your card in and it's like handing them the money. It'd be like if it was between you and me, it's like, I want fuel of my airplane. I don't know how much it's going to take. Here's $100. And then you pump the fuel, and it only takes $75.
Oh, wow.
So then it's got to go right. It'd be like you then handing me $25 back when I was all done, say.
Mm-hmm. Sometimes.
You have to reinsert the cart. If you just pull your cart out and go home, it doesn't give you their money back.
Right.
It will. It holds it in the computer. But what you really have to do is when you're done fueling, you have to turn around, pull your card out, then put the card back in. It'll write it back on the card. And a lot of people forget to do that.
Oh, wow.
And it seems kind of like, say, why did they do it? But that's the way it works. And it's the way it is, you know. But it's kind of funny.
Okay. That's all I have.
Thanks.
Anything else in the development of the airport?
No. I can say Potomac Air... has contacted us. They've changed their what they want to do out there, and it's not an air museum. They're also looking at some air tanker stuff. So when you look at the amount of property they need, it's 5 to 10 acres. They've come up that they need $3 million to develop that property, and they don't want to spend $3 million on developing the property just to build the stuff above that. So they are looking at other places. I think Aurora has contacted them.
Who has?
Aurora.
Gosh, everybody's...
That's
a little metropolis over there.
Yeah, so something that looked pretty good. Now, you know, I've heard from them and then from other people. They really appreciated how Newport reached out to them, but it's just not in their business plan.
I don't know where they're going to find a gift.
Are they looking for somebody to put up money?
I think like they are a little bit. Tillamook kind of said, yeah, we'll help you out. Well, they really couldn't. And when they turned up, they couldn't. They kind of looking here. We are up front with them and say, you know, we don't have any money. We can do little things here and there. We can lease your property at really competitive rates to get your investment back over time. But their business model or how they do things, they want something different. So I,
you never know what
they find.
You better not know what they find. And I encourage all the city to keep that door open and with respect, because they might say, you know what, you guys are the nicest one after all.
Yeah.
But if I live in the valley, am I going to go to Aurora to see this, or am I going to go to Evergreen?
Yeah. I don't think Aurora has the room, Jim, to be honest with you. That place is packed.
And it could be. I mean, there are the olives out, olive branches out there, and they may circle around back to us. So we'll see. But we'll keep in contact.
Yeah, I think you're right. Looking for somebody to cover some money to prompt.
And it's also not very touristic. If you're going to try and drive, they're like 10 miles off of the interstate, and it's out in the boonies. It's not in town. So it'll be hard to attract people from the road there.
And they know it. They know this.
Yeah.
But of course, you got a million people in the area, too.
So as soon as Jim gets that dock moved out to the airport, they should bring in a few people and whatever. Yeah,
that's right. Well, they got a boat for the dock now. Maybe work a deal with the Owako. They got the boat.
Villain has a heel pad.
Yeah, right.
Okay, that's all I have.
Any other comments from the committee? Mark?
I just, you know.
You got your questions answered that you...
I just, just want to let you guys know that, you know, Lance and Terry, they're just working hard, and they love what they're doing. They're committed to the city. They love seeing pilots that they've never seen before.
Yeah, that is nice to hear.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know if you know Chuck or Jim, but yesterday Terry had the Newport Rec Department kids out there at the airport and had a tour and had airplanes and put our airplanes out, and they all... Les actually let him
in his plane.
Yeah, he really let him in his plane.
Oh,
yeah.
Fun.
Yeah.
Yeah. Thank you. I did hear about that. So I mean, I thanked all the airplane people who brought their planes over, and yeah, it was pretty good.
And those of you that know Les, he actually dressed up.
No, he didn't.
For those,
he had shoes on.
Yeah, I mean, he is all dressed up. He was taking the kids in groups of three or four,
that's
letting
cool.
them sit in his airplane.
That's way cool. Yeah. I didn't. You know, everybody notices that fuel prices are coming down.
They are.
Well,
yeah,
a little bit they are.
Country.
So
yeah,
I don't know where you're
you get that one right,
Jim. I'm not sure who's in charge of the fuel policy and making fuel prices, but hopefully we can kind of keep an eye on that. And
well, they've got to wait till the tank gets down to 20% before they can get it.
And I was wondering if we knew how
Terry
our tank is sitting now.
Oh, Terry sits on. He's checking that every day.
Good.
I understand the finance department's now setting the fuel price.
Yeah, and we're going to buy 6,000 gallons of Jet A because we were down enough to buy that. But our avgas, we're sitting okay on that for right now.
I know Terry tracks our prices every day.
The longer you wait, the
harder. You use a fixed formula than what the finance.
So is it 40%?
It's I know it's 40 cents on the dollar average, just for general fuel prices.
No, the percentage we have in the tank.
No, it's at 20%.
Oh, it's at 20% now?
It has to go to 20 before the thing.
He's either got to split a load with another airport or buy a whole load, or they charge you an arm.
He has to get like 8,000.
8,000, is it? I think 6,000 for...
I think a tanker's 8,000, isn't it? A whole load?
Yeah. Well, hopefully, you know, we're going to get a little bit of adjustment.
You get one delivery and it's cheaper.
Hopefully we can get a little bit of adjustment. It'll come down a little bit.
Mm-hmm. No, it didn't work that way.
I know.
It only goes up.
I know.
Is there anything critical that should come out of this year's budget? There's only a couple of weeks to go before you start a new budget year.
No, we're good.
You're saying that as a city manager overlooking the budget, aren't you?
Yeah, because we, you know, at this point, we have projected how much money we're going to spend, and that became our beginning fund balance for the next year. So, regardless of whether it was in, you know, money in the budget, we have projected that we're only going to spend so much. So. If we were to spend it this year, we'd just start.
I was just thinking, is there anything critical that's needed?
No.
I would say the water and sewer to the airport would be critical.
Yeah, but that's a capital project. You mean putting new sewer and water lines and all that?
Just getting the city water and city sewer to the airport. That was approved. I mean, I'm going to keep bugging Jim. It was approved in the business plan. And, 2 years ago? And I just, if we're going to develop the airport, we have to have sewer and we have to have water.
It can be in the business plan, but it's who's going to fund it, how's going to get paid for it. That's the the big problem. I mean, we can,
right.
And clearly, it's in the plan, but...
And as a commoner, and maybe you can help me out, as a commoner, when the plan was approved by the city council, it wasn't approved without the city and without the water and without the sewer. That's... I'm having a hard time putting that... Yeah, well, we've approved your plan.
It should be approved with budget, as opposed to saying, yeah,
correct.
That's a nice idea.
Correct.
Right. Yeah. I mean, there's a nice idea. When it's approved in a plan, it's that this is what we want to do. But the city didn't set aside a funding plan to be able to do that.
Okay. Then I wish it wasn't a plan. But anyway, I'm just going to keep bugging you. If we want to develop the airport, we got to have water and sewer. Or we're just going to be a little...
Any other comments from the board? Jim, you have anything else?
No, I don't.
I guess we are through then. Thank you, Jim, for coming in.
Yeah, thank you.
Thanks. That was, I think, record time.
That's because you were nice.
And I missed the first 5 minutes.